Hallelujah. We thank you for victory. How we thank you for victory. How we rejoice tonight for victory. For the triumph of the cross. For the triumph of our Savior. For the whole idea to begin with. Hallelujah. What a joy, what a privilege, what a grace is ours in Jesus Christ. The Bible does say, shout his praise, all ye people. Well, we're going to look at the Word tonight. Tonight, I would like to look at a subject that I know we haven't been on for a while. But our subject tonight is laughter. But I did want to look at it from a very practical point of view, because there could come at some time or another confusion. And I think that one of the treasures that we are to hold as Christians is understanding. I think there is a great deal of difference between Christians who have understanding and light in their heart and those who don't. I believe that we go through life the same, but the difference lies in that we know the ways of God, and it delights the Lord that we should know his ways. And he walks in them and causes us to walk in them and understand them. Now, there's such a thing as people walking in God's ways who cannot err therein, even a fool. But nonetheless, we have a subject to consider this evening, and that's the subject of laughter, and I'm going to look at it from the divine point of view and from the natural point of view in the reverse order I just gave it. First the natural, then the spiritual. But laughter. You know, there is a laughter that's natural. There is a laughter that's negative. There is a laughter that's outward. And then there's, on the other hand, a laughter that's inward. There's a laughter that's divine. There's a laughter that is positive. And I'd like to look at both of them. You know, Christians aren't the only ones to laugh. We didn't coin laughing. Laughing came a long time before the Spirit started moving upon people and Christian experiences. And definitely, laughter preceded the cross. Laughter preceded Christ. We do not know of any expression in heaven of laughter before we were created, but there are things that cause us to understand that man has not only the ability born in him to be able to laugh, but that there are many functions of laughter. And the laughter that comes as a result of an experience of the Holy Spirit is totally different than the laughter that comes to our natural life when we're just having a good time. You have to understand that although the outward appearances make them the same, yet the experience is totally different. There is a laughter that is human. There is a laughter that's natural, and it's not bad always. It can be good. It can be healthy sometimes just to laugh. But there is a laughter that is stimulated by outward circumstances. Remember that. There is a laughter that is stimulated by outward circumstances, something that happens that strikes your funny bone. That will cause you to laugh. We have reactions. We are built in such a way that our emotional state demands a reaction of some sort from us. Now, you have to understand that the exercise of laughter takes place in our body. You just think of it a bit. The brain has to do some tremendous tricks to get us to do this. It has to contract the muscles and release them. Only in a certain part of the body, or it would look like you were having a convulsion, but it's almost like a convulsion. It has to take you near to the world of ecstasy without going into the world of blackout or unconsciousness. But you can actually and literally laugh yourself into unconsciousness if the brain wasn't to stop that stimulus upon your body. It has to produce spasms at intervals to be able to heave in laughter. And then you have to be able to contract muscles and leave them contracted until your rib cage hurts. If you're really laughing, Now think of what the brain has to do. Although laughter is looked upon as something pleasant, the body doesn't feel like what you put it through was so pleasant. It feels more like torture. You have no use of muscles, muscles that were perfectly good for you until you came into a building, and then on your way out, they were just absolutely good for nothing. And you have to understand that our body feels like it went through punishment, not ecstasy. What is this thing about laughter? Could it be that at certain stimuluses and at certain moments where the stimulation is so high, it is involuntary? It is something that we go through in reaction to this that is stimulating us to react that way. You have to see that laughter is a natural thing. But God is doing a supernatural thing through the natural. And that's how he often works. Just like God chooses to use men and to give his gifts to men and operate through people. Well, he wouldn't have to. God is so great that he wouldn't have to if he chose not to do so. God could do things in such marvelous ways. But he chooses to use men, just like he chooses to let your rib cage feel like it's been beaten on. That's his idea of fun, I guess. But we have to understand that there are two sources, perhaps, of laughter, and one is natural and one is divine. Because one source of our laughter is from the outside world. And there are many things, there are many types of laughs and smiles, because smile is just the beginning of a laughter. It just doesn't, whatever stimulated it wasn't sufficient enough to take it fully into a laughter, but if it should have, it would have. Now, you get this person that's timid. What does a bashful person do? Huh? Yeah, they sort of smile and laugh. Well, they're not showing you any pleasure. They're not living a pleasurable experience. What they're doing is that they're revealing to you that they're on the spot. They have to perform. They don't feel like they can. They don't feel like they're sufficient up against their... And I didn't read a psychology book this week, by the way. This is just natural life. I'm just talking to you out of experience right here so that I can lay a platform for what we're going to say for the divine later. But you see, coming back down to this now, we have such a thing as this laughter that is created and isn't necessarily a pleasant experience, but it is a response that we may not have as much control over as we think we do. You don't stop and think, should I laugh at what he said? No, you just instantly respond. It's a reaction. That's the way you would respond to something we say. And that is why people can't understand why when you're in one country and people's humor is stimulated or laughter is stimulated by certain things you say or do, you come to another country and they just don't laugh at it. They don't think it's funny. But nonetheless, it all, that is the source, all comes from the natural world. It comes from the outward world. Doesn't matter how you say something, it's going to provoke laughter. If you feel bashful at one time or another, you're just going to smile and you're going to laugh because what you're doing is that you're trying to hide the real truth, and so you smile. Many times people are living a deep sorrow, but what do? They smile to cover over the sorrow. Now, here's something I want to begin to touch on, and that is that they have sorrow on the inside, but laughter on the outside. You see, laughter has more to do with overcoming than it does with tragedy. You don't associate laughter with tragedy. We don't associate laughter with a negative. We associate laughter with a positive. But what happens to this bashful person now? This bashful person is covering up something that's not good. They don't feel good in that environment. They're trying to say to you, this is hurting me, and rather than cry, I'd rather smile. But really, the response should have been what? Crying. Their response is, I'm uncomfortable. I don't feel like I'm equal to you, or you threaten me when you're around, and so I'm bashful, or I can't do it. Oh, you're a chicken. And so what do? You're a chicken. Instead of crying, when you're a little kid and you don't know any better and you're innocent, your responses were pure, because if they called you a chicken or something, you're quite capable of crying. If you're in a situation where you felt bashful, you would just plain cry and get it over with. At least you're revealing emotions that are true and that are positive. Why? Because they come from a different source. They don't come stimulated from the outward world, but rather from the inward one. But we don't. We laugh. And laughter comes from the outside. We have laughter that's of sarcasm and criticism. Ha 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 ha. You laugh at somebody. Some people, even in the spirit, laugh at other people. laugh at the tragedy, they can't laugh or whatever. Or if they're not ready to really give over to the Holy Spirit, and they laugh at him like they're on top and they're small down there, and they're making fun of him. Now, we have laughter that makes fun of people. Kids do this. Adults do this. It's a laughter that makes fun of people. If they can't perform like we do or whatever, we laugh at them. And so laughter is used as a weapon now. You don't only use laughter to cover up timidity or bashfulness, but now to intimidate. So laughter now has many uses. Not only is it stimulated, but it is used by us in the natural world, and none of this is necessarily positive. The world can do this, but that isn't what Christ came to give us. Laughter, must I say, is the body's way of responding to what really stimulated that laughter. If laughter is stimulated by anything on the outside, it's emotionalism. Why? Because it leads to nothing. If laughter is the result of what's happening in your heart, it is now true emotion and positive and divine. Because it is accomplishing something that is uplifting, that is healing, and that is good. We can even laugh and consent to sin, dirty jokes, whatever. That is a laughter of consent to sin. That is not divine. That is natural. And it's caused by things that we are naturally in tune with and like, but are really things we shouldn't talk about or dwell on at all. And so here's a way now that we can dwell on a subject that we'd like to through laughter. We can get away with it. You can't just talk openly about something, but if you tell a joke about it, now you can say it openly and plainly, and everybody will just laugh with you. Whereas if you just said it in normal conversation and forgot the joke part, you'd probably be stoned to death. Same matter, same subject. But now we have laughter used in a negative way. We have laughter that's not leading to anything constructive. We have laughter that's not doing anything for you. It's the laughter of the world. It's laughter that worldly people can laugh with. Church people aren't the only ones to laugh. We didn't invent laughing. We're not the only ones going to a gathering where a lot of us go together and leave laughing. You can go to comedy shows and leave laughing. But you see, their stimulus is from the outside. Their stimulus is from the natural world. Their stimulus comes from all these, their source comes from all that's outward, not inward. Therefore, it is emotionalism. It leads to nothing. It is not constructive. It does not heal. It does not release. It does not do anything for you. You say, well, yeah, you release your emotions. Yes, but while you're releasing your tension, you're also releasing things that are wrong and that are evil. There is such a thing, and the scriptures recorded of Sarah, the laughter of disbelief or the laughter of unbelief. She had to have enough belief to laugh at it. That's why I call it disbelief. But that's not the right kind of laughter. Because now we have Abraham later that laughs just like she laughed when she heard the same message, but one was the laughter of faith. God didn't get after his laughter. It didn't anger God. Besides, it was God's laughter. Because it said he fell on his face. He didn't do it of his own accord. He fell. That was the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said he rolled laughing, the original says. In Spanish, it's even clear, it says carcajadas, which means heaving laughter. But that didn't bother God, because it was a positive laughter of faith. What that was doing is releasing faith from his heart at the preponderance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It was preposterous to think that God, out of a 90-year-old body and a woman that was totally dead in her body, according to all natural biological functions to give forth a child, should bring forth a child into this world. All the natural things that could have brought about that laughter weren't there. He wasn't happy because they were going to have a baby. They couldn't. You see, there was nothing in the outward that could have produced that laughter. That laughter was produced from the inward. And so here now I want to bring you to the transition point between the natural and the divine. And that is, one finds its source in the outward, the other finds a source in the inward. The laughter, the joy, the happiness that's in the heart and then reflected through the body, manifested in the body, is the real laughter. The other one is fake. Why isn't it real? Because it predicts, it manifests a condition that's not true. So now look at this. The laughter, which is a response of happiness in its true form, has now been converted to a polluted form and to an untruthful form because we are using this response that's meant for that for this other. I said a moment ago that many of us laugh in any given situation when really what we feel is sorrow. Now that is not a true laughter because they should be crying, not laughing. That reflects something that isn't true. Now God, when He moves upon the heart, His purpose is joy or joyfulness, depending on whether it's expression of it. The Lord, I fear to use the word happiness because I think we've overused it in this country and abused it maybe more than that. But there is a state of pleasure. There is a state of happiness. There is a state of bliss with God. The scriptures say so. Now this happiness, this state of total happiness is what God wants for us. But His idea is that the outside reflect the inside. If you don't have it inside, why have it outside? Some people want to have an experience of just laughter and say, okay, I got it. What did you get? I mean, seriously, what did you get? Do you know, excuse me, do you know that you could be tremendously happy in your heart and not necessarily express it through laughter outside? I came to the service, I didn't come laughing, I came happy. I came happy, I'm still happy. In my heart, I'm full of happiness, full of joyfulness. I may not choose to express it, but I'm not being wrong to do so or not to do so. It is my choice to express it, but if I do express it through laughter or through some means that you could understand as happiness or joyfulness, and I have it inside, that is true. That is true. If what I do on the outside doesn't reflect what's really going on the inside, then that is not true. And God is the spirit of truth. There is no lie in God. He doesn't do one thing, reflect another. He doesn't come here and let His spirit or angels tickle you and have a great time and laugh and then leave out there with His deep sorrow deep in your heart and spirit. That's not true. That wasn't the spirit of truth. You may have had an experience of some sort, but that wasn't God working on you, because the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to work in your heart. Now there's where true joy has its source, is in the heart. And if laughter is the outward product or the outward manifestation of that joyfulness, of the merriness, of the happiness that He's put deep inside your heart, now you have a true experience. All that is God releasing you, taking off the stops, taking away the inhibitions, so that you can indeed manifest what's in your heart. So God, when He gives you an experience, is not giving you an experience of laughter. He's giving you an experience of joy so that you can indeed experience joy. So that you can experience a laughter that's totally different than the laughter of consent to sin, the laughter of bashfulness, the laughter of criticism and sarcasm. All these laughters that are so hurtful, the laughter of arrogance and conceit. You look down on somebody and you laugh at them because they're so stupid. Now, why would somebody look down on somebody else and make them feel like a miserable heel and do it through laughing? I'd have thought you'd use some other gesture, a gesture for punishment or anger. Why laughter? I associate laughter with something nice. But what they're doing to me isn't nice. It's like somebody taking pleasure out of killing somebody. It's the pleasure part I don't understand. It's the laughter part. Now, do you know that there is laughter in hell? Yes. There is a laughter of cynicism. There is a hellish, heinous laughter. I have actually literally heard it. It is the most offensive, most horrible, most degrading, most threatening expression you could ever hear. It is just plain awful. It's dreadful. But none of their laughter produces joy, produces fear. They intimidate. It's a laughter of intimidation. You can laugh that way. You can laugh at someone's disgrace. But see, it's not true. Why isn't it truth? Because you're not meaning to degrade them, although you think you're better than they are, and it shows, quite obviously, although you think they're nothing, but you really don't mean to go around making them feel lousy. You just want them to know that you're better, that's all. I mean, there's no harm in it all, was there? If you realize the psychological marks you left on that child, if you realize that for life you left a person that had a cloud hanging over them of what's this word? It'll come to me in a minute. But throughout life, they carry this burden with them of a complex. That's the word I was after. Thank you very much, Shirley. Complex. People drag a complex around, and you know they can be very hurt through life with a deep complex about something or another that someone drove in them. And isn't it sad that we should use such a thing as laughter to do it? Use anger. Use something else. And so this is the point I want to make about natural laughter, that many times it's misused or used wrong or used in the wrong place. Because laughter was meant by God to be much other than something that hurts someone else or that laughs at their tragedy or that laughs in arrogant conceit and pride, that laughs to reveal the inward condition of sorrow. The laughter of disbelief and unbelief was never meant by God, of sarcasm, criticism, mischievousness, and naughtiness. We laugh, laughter of conceit of sin. God never intended laughter to be this way. That mechanism to make us go through the motions that our body goes through was meant to release the right emotions of the heart. Really, they're only meant to be used by God in the right way, and truly, laughter should only be used as an expression from the source of the heart. It's not wrong to have our laughter triggered by something someone says that's funny, but realize that it's not doing anything for you. It's just, it's your way of saying, hey, you know, that's right, what you just said. Or it's one of those things, I like what you just said, but you could have done that without laughter. There's some places in the world that go like that instead of laughing. Thumbs up. Well, however you express it, God has come, and listen to this, God has come in these days as he has in times past, for this is nothing new, God has come to restore joy to the church. Now listen to me, I didn't say God came to restore laughter because I just explained to you that there's all kinds of laughter. Now that doesn't mean you may not laugh, but if you laugh as a natural and open response of the joyfulness that he came and restored within you, inside of you, then it's the right kind of laughter. I would say laugh until the rafters break. Because God came to restore joy, not laughter. He doesn't need to restore laughter. It's still working great, thank you very much. Any joke can show it or reveal it. Do you know that long after your body dies and rots in a grave, you'll still go on joyful forever? You'll continue joyful forever. Someday he might give you another body and you can laugh with it. But there's no laughing in the grave. But the spirit in whom God has restored joy will have it forever. And what God is doing is an eternal work. Believe me when I tell you that what God has come to do is an eternal and everlasting work. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When God gives you something, his gifts are without repentance. He doesn't recall them. Listen, I want you to know that this is far greater than what you think it is. We are going to experience the joy of the Lord, and one of the ways that we're going to experience and manifest it into this world is through laughing. But there's a lot of other ways that we're going to express the joy of the Lord that is being born in our heart. And may I say that when the Lord restores the joy in your heart, He may do so without necessarily you laughing about it. The proof of the joy is in the handling of the circumstances of life that used to get to you, now they don't. There's joy inside. Now, no one rejoices over things that happen in life that are bad, but we go through that which is evil rejoicing. That is a joy that's unspeakable. It has no natural definition. It doesn't follow the law and effect clause. It doesn't go along with stimulus of the natural. Because everything in the natural should stimulate us to cry and weep, but yet we are joyful. The laughter of God, the joy of God that produces the natural laughter, cuts across the stimuluses of the world. Everything can go wrong, but there's a laughter of faith that brings forth an Isaac of God. There's a laughter at the enemy when he's working. And God takes you up to that world and shows you how small they are and how dumb they are and how defeated they are and how every work that they ever connive to do goes about so far, and then God throws their whole castle down and you just have a great time. I mean, it's just joyful to know that the victory is ours and not theirs. And he who sitteth in the heavens laughs at his enemies. Now, it's not right to laugh at other people, but for some reason it's right to laugh at the enemy. But now let me tell you something that I think is very healthy for you to listen to. I would strongly suggest, if you're going to go laughing at the devil, that you let it be the laughter of him that sitteth in the heavens and laughs, manifested through you. And not necessarily you standing there laughing at the devil. Don't try it. Because, you see, it would be you laughing at the devil, and what I'm trying to convey to you tonight is a totally different concept. And that's God working on the inside of you. When He's laughing at His enemies inside of you, you can laugh at your enemies. That is a laughter of derision. That is a laughter of faith. That is a laughter. Sometimes I think that this laughter that He has of the enemy and his works is almost spite. It's almost like He looks down on them. Because He wants them to do their work and they can't help doing it, and then they collect for it. It's almost like, you dummies. And then on top of it, everything they do for us, He chalks it down in a record book. So when collecting day comes, they collect for every little detail. Even the ones that He threw down and they didn't accomplish just because they had the intent to. It's like someone didn't murder someone, but they connived with someone who did. What do they call that? Conspiracy to murder. Well, he goes down for conspiracy for murder, and he never got to do it because we always got saved in the nick of time out of everything he ever did, but he still goes down. But there is a joy. There is a pleasure in the presence of the Father. There is a joy that comes from the heart. That is what God is really wanting to do for us, is put a joy of our salvation, a joy of His finished work, a joy of how futile the enemy's work really is when everything looks so black and bleak. A joy, well, the word in Spanish is gusto. It's more connected with taste, but the joy that comes of pleasuring His presence, of tasting His presence, of enjoying His presence. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is a joy of God. There is a joy in God. There is a joy around God. And when He brings us into Himself, He brings us into that joy. But what the Holy Spirit is doing today is that as He is restoring this joy, He is also, if I may use the expression, zapping, or like you would, you know, the electric wand or electric probe. He is just absolutely zapping away our inhibitions so that we can manifest that joy, so that the world, in the outward world, we are, the joy that he's putting in us is being evidenced, is being manifested. How else would you know you had joy if no one ever manifested it? How else would we know that he's putting it in there? How else would we know that he's working it in there? But God's joy is worked at the level of our heart, not at the level of outward stimulus. Everything might go wrong, but there's joy inside. Though there be no calves in the stall, though there be no fruit on the trees, though we live in famine and there be no money and there be no nothing, there be nothing around us to live with, though everything we touch go wrong, yet even so, we have a rejoicing of the Spirit once it is restored in us that nothing can affect that's from the outward world because it's been effectually worked into our spirit and heart by the mighty God of Jacob. That is the joy of the Lord. It is His pleasure. It is His joy. Not only manifested through us, but it is His joy worked or wrought in us. Yes, the Lord will laugh through us. But he's not just laughing through us because he felt like laughing and didn't have anybody to do so since they took his before the resurrection. Please understand. It is the joy of the Lord restoring, it doesn't matter what outward circumstances, our joy does not derive its laughter from the natural world because that is a worldly laughter. Our laughter is divine. Although it's manifested in a natural way, it has its source in our spirit. It has its source in our heart. God is working at the level of our heart. That is the source. Not of the joy. That is the source of the stimulus for our laughter. The source of the joy is in Him. The wells of salvation, the wells of joy are in Him. In His presence, there are joys. Now look with me to a few scriptures real quick now as we come to the end. I know that years ago the Lord said I didn't have to do this, but sometimes I feel like it's best for you if I do. I know that I don't have to prove it to you. I could stop right here, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm as convinced as I ever need to be. But what I say now, I'll say as Christ did one time. He said, Father, I say this not for my sake and your sake, but for their sake. And what I'll read to you now are just some scriptures for your sake. In Psalms 4, verse 7. Remember the two sources of stimulus, the outward and the inward. One is laughter caused by things that happen on the outside. The other is a laughter as a response and a result of that which God has worked in the inside. It said, Thou hast put. Now read those words real carefully. First of all, it is pointing to someone as the worker of what is going to happen here. Who is it? Who is thou? Not a man. Not an angel. Not a devil. This thou is David looking unto the Lord. He's saying, Lord, thou hast. Now, look at the tense. It's not what he was going to do. What is it? What he has already done. Thou hast put. Put means that it wasn't there. Look at this. God isn't stirring up something that was there. When I use the word restoring, I was referring not to something we had already and God's restoring, like reviving. I was referring to the restoring of joy to the church. God is giving. Now it said, Thou hast put, because it wasn't there. Gladness. Gladness. Not sorrow, not something like that. Gladness. Now listen here. Where did he put it? First we said who, then what, now where. Where did he put it? Did he put gladness in our outward circumstances? Did he work everything out now so you don't have any problems? No, where did he put gladness? In the heart. more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Now, here's the natural. He said, the joy that you are giving me is, and put, that you have put inside my heart is greater than the joy that comes or the gladness that's there when everything in the natural goes prosperous, like with them. Now, that is the truth. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in this move around the world, in the church. God is putting gladness in the heart. The fact that people reflect it through laughter is because it's true. When he puts it there, he's going to release it. He's going to take away the inhibitions. He's going to take away the feeling of dignities and prides that we normally have that would keep us reserved to that effect, and let that flow that he has put within our heart. And what God is letting us see visibly in our service through laughter and happiness is the joy, is the gladness that he himself is putting in our heart. Now you continue having that joy and happiness and gladness in your heart even when you're not laughing. You don't have to laugh to have the happiness because your happiness didn't come from outward stimulus. You are happy and glad at all times inside because he put it there, and what God put there, no one can take away, including the devil. Yeah, that's a fact. You can laugh, clap, shout, do what you want to, or stay quiet. It doesn't matter. It's a fact. It is true. No one can. It is there for you. God isn't going to take it away. Why should he take away what he does? He said, if a man works on a house and tears it down, he said, how can he build it up? Tear down with the left hand and build up with the right one. God builds, period. God puts gladness in your heart. You've got it. You can keep it. So, well, I don't feel it. You can just express it and you'll start feeling it. But it's there. It's just like praise. We didn't feel much like praising, but once we got to doing it, after we got through doing it, it's such a good feeling. Feeling follows obedience. Now, you see, this is so totally different. Because the world laughs in response to outward stimulus. We can laugh if we choose to or not, but we have a gladness that the Holy Ghost is restoring or putting in our hearts. And that's where he intends to put it, in our heart, in our spirit. He doesn't plan to put it in our brain, nor our sight, nor the outward life, but in our heart. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10. If you would, please. Remember, as Solomon was building the temple and building the buildings, there was the joy of the Lord in their midst and the glory of the Lord in their midst. The Lord just shortly after that appeared to Solomon by night and spoke to him there. That he had chosen this place that he had built to be there and hear the people's prayer. But in the verses just before it, in verse 10 of chapter 7, says, and on the 23rd day, I don't know why they couldn't just say 23rd, and the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry, where? In their heart. Now, they didn't necessarily go laughing. They could have, but he didn't send them away laughing. He sent them away merry in their heart. Now, what worked that merriment, that gladness, into their heart? Read on. The goodness that the Lord had shown unto David, Solomon, and Israel, his people. The goodness of the Lord wrought that merriment of heart. Listen, one of the things that seems to be so present, so beautiful lately, is that the Lord has brought us into a deep consciousness, a realization, really, of the goodness of God, of the finished work of Christ, of a wonderful life in God. The goodness of the Lord produced in them a merriment in their heart. Produced a merriment in their heart. Now, first we saw who did it, where he put it in, what he put in, and how different it was than the others that had it from natural stimulus. But now we see through what he did it. He did it through goodness. Now turn with me to Proverbs 15:13. And I want you to see something that can't be reversed in its order. A merry heart produces a happy countenance. But you can have a happy countenance and still have sorrow in the heart. Do you understand that? Laughing isn't the secret. When a person comes up and says that God healed him when he didn't, that isn't true, is it? When we laugh, and it's not the laughter that comes out of that joy and gladness that he puts in the heart, I want you to know that it's evil, it's wrong, it's a lie, it's deceit. It's saying I have something that I don't have. But what God is telling us here, and what the king so wisely brought forth, is that if your heart is merry, if the gladness of God is wrought in your heart, if he has placed it there, and he will if you let him do it, because that's what he's come to do, you will have a hard time not reflecting it in the outward. Because the outward reflects what's inside. The laughter of the Holy Spirit isn't just angels tickling you. Nothing was funny. No outside responses. And you notice in the service how when some people are out under the power of the Holy Spirit doing silly things and laughing, we laugh too, but it's a different laughter because ours is stimulated by what we're seeing in the natural. And while you're being stimulated in the natural, you're being left out of what God's really doing because you should be down there with the other guy. That's where the laughter really is because, see, that now is a countenance that's been made happy by the merriment of the heart. He's having the real work. She's having the real work done. The others are just having fun while they're having it done. But one goes with the gift of the joy of salvation, the other leaves without it. See, that's the difference. There's a laughter that's of the Holy Ghost because it comes from the Spirit. It's worked out from and in the Spirit. And the whole purpose of the thing is to give you joy that you can have no matter what they do to your body or what's happening to your body. You're going to reflect the outward joy. Your face, your countenance is going to reflect that joy. I'll tell you a story in a minute, but I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures here. In verse 15... it also says the sorrow of a heart. Spirit that's broken. In verse 15, who are the ones that have a continual feast? Those that laugh all the time? Those that express happiness? Who? You know, you see these movies, and these movie stars are just so happy, and then you read in the paper, the disasters of their life, the tragedies of their life, the sorrow of their life. You say, how can it be? They go on a solenoid and they look so happy, you say, oh, I want to be like that guy. That's not truth, is it? Here it says that the person that has a merry heart has the continual feast. It doesn't say he laughs forever. Thank God. It says he has a continual feast. Laughing will pass, but joy will last forever. A merry heart doeth good. Like what? Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart, not happy people, not laughing people. A merry heart doeth good. That is the real medicine. You know, some people, I've heard it written, I've seen it written in several magazines and everything. If you just laugh so much, some people have laughed their cancers off and this and that. Let me tell you something. Laughter never cured anyone. Because laughter isn't good medicine. That's just a title they put on Selecciones. I'm still in Spanish. Reader's Digest, all right? It's not those who laugh that have the medicine. Because laughter isn't medicine. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And who can give that? Not jokes. Not outward stimulus. Not natural things. Who is the only one that can give? Thou. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. That is good like medicine, you see. Don't confuse the issue. Because God wants you to have understanding. That's what I'm here for. I can leave and let you have a good time. But when I come back, God wants to give you light and understanding. That's why I'm here. God wants you to understand this. You can have a great time, but while you're doing it, understand what God is doing. A merry heart doeth good, not a happy person. Not a person that laughs all day long. I couldn't laugh my sicknesses off. You can't either. But if laughter reveals a happiness that someone put within you, a happiness that's worked inside of you, it's like a medicine, and it keeps working inside of you continuously. You'll show me the path of life in Psalm 16:11. And in your presence is fullness of what? In your presence is fullness of joy. Now notice Sunday how the two things went so well together. Just a lovely manifestation of the glory and presence of the Lord. And then just behind it, the laughter. It is a different anointing. It feels different. It acts different. They both don't come together at the same time, but one is the product of the other. In thy presence. It didn't say your presence is joy. It said in your presence there is fullness of it. Fullness of it. That's a joy the world can't give. That's not a joy of outward stimulus. That is a joy of the Lord. That is a joy of God in my spirit that no one can take away and that stands solid in any given circumstance of life. Hallelujah. That is the evidence. God worked it in my spirit. Now, when God puts that joy in our spirit, in our heart, it said the countenance is going to reflect it. We were in Panama, and this man gave his testimony. I wasn't expecting to give it, so I didn't write it here and forgot his name. But the Lord just said, give it. And he depends on my memory. There's a Panamanian brother, and he was in El Salvador serving the Lord for a time. It was during the time of the guerrilla warfare, and he and a group of people in his church were taken captive. And they had him in a prison outside, and every day they'd take one of them out and shoot him. And it wasn't a very merry feast. And after they'd shot quite a few of them, and there was quite a bit of torture, and they'd beaten them senseless time and time again, he realized as the numbers were dwindling that his day was soon coming. And he used to pray about it, that the Lord would give him grace to die, and that he would at least in his dying day have a good testimony to give. And one day he was praying and the Lord spoke to him. And he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he thought, that's curious. A word like this at a time like this. But he said, the joy of the Lord. He didn't say my joy. He said, the joy of the Lord. There must be joy in the Lord for martyrs. I don't know. But there is a joy of the Lord. And so there's a joy of the Lord. I'm going to let it reflect through me and manifest through me. And indeed, just a couple days later, they called him. It was his turn. And he was going out. And as he went out, his countenance began to reflect the joy of the Lord that was in him. And he just smiled at the man. Very gracious, very loving smile at the man who was going to shoot him. And this man looks at him and looks at him again, takes a couple steps backwards, looks at him, and then goes and talks to the commander of the terrorist operation. He said, we've got a problem here. He said, we've got thus and so so-and-so, and he said, he's just smiling. So he comes over here, and he takes a look at this nice, vibrant, happy-looking face, like he was going to a party somewhere. He says, well, we must have the wrong one. Let him go. And they let him go, the only one that ever got away. He came back and he told his story in the Panama conference. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He walked away from it with a smile. Why? Because a merry heart reflects it where? Proverbs 15:13. It maketh the countenance glad. It maketh the countenance glad. You know, some people begin to wear a permanent upside down banana on their face. Seriously. There's no joy in there. Those are the people that need this baptism. Those are the people that need this grace that God's working into people. The very people that walk out of a service are the people that need it the most. Because they're the ones with a frown. They're the ones with a hard look. They're the ones that have that weight hanging over them. They're the ones that need a work inside their spirit. And for thou to put gladness in their heart. For the great thou to put gladness in their heart. So that our laughter, so that our countenance is a reflection of the truth that is within us. What is God doing today? He's restoring and giving gladness and joy and happiness in the heart and spirit of Christians. And then it's just a matter of what? Manifesting it. It's just a matter of releasing it. It's just a matter of letting it express. That's all. I will add one little thing. I've discovered something about God putting it in. For reasons I can't understand. And here again in Spanish. Help me, Mark. Lo ponen como las cuotas. Installments plans. Thank you, Mark. God puts it in our spirit in installment plans. Installment plans. That means if he's got a pound of joy, you get it an ounce at a time. He doesn't just put an ocean inside of a lake. You know that? He's got to dig out a lake big enough for an ocean to fit in first. And you know, God puts happiness in, but how much? We're going to get our happiness in installments. So if you'd like another installment tonight, stick around. Basically, that's the bottom line. The things of God are so simple. I don't know anybody that knows something about happiness that wouldn't, or gladness, that wouldn't want God to work that in them. We need it, you know? There's so much going on here in this world to just... What's the word I'm looking for? I can't switch my mind over into English here. To drain, that's the word, to drain happiness away from us. It seems like everything's geared to make us mope and mourn and sorrow and be full of grief and anxiety and who knows what all. It just seems like it's all geared to make us unhappy. It's all geared to take our joy away. To nothing else, you use it every day and it's gone. Well, come back for more. God's going to give us a merry heart. Hallelujah.